Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute it's carbs are bad, and then the next it's, no, actually carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now.
Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you.
They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Bert to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Bert. Forhers.com/Bert. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
The Bert Show.
Sometimes as a mom, whether it be a stay-at-home mom or a working mom, you just need a little reset. And by reset, I mean 24 hours away from your child or children and your spouse.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm toying with this idea. I want to test it out with my friends and then potentially do it with Bert Show listeners. And I'm thinking about doing a momcation where all my mom friends, we get a cabin not too far away, however big it needs to be. And for 24 hours, we don't have a spouse in our ear. We don't have a kid in our ear. We just have female frivolity.
Ooh.
And that is it. So my question for a Bert Show fam is, if you have 24 hours away from your spouse and your child, what would you like to do with that? Now, I know what I would like to do, and that's nothing, but sometimes that's not the most exciting thing to do. So 1-855-BIRD-SHOW, 855-237-8746. So again, I want to test this out first with my mom friends. So Cassie, get prepared for the text message.
Yeah.
So again, we would meet at a cabin, and then we would literally be there for just 24 hours. So one night, and then go home the next day. Because I'm being sincere when I say sometimes that's all you need, just to get some body, you know, autonomy back and to set your mind straight. And there is something to be said about female friendship.
So I'm not a mommy, but I do know in the times where I had my kids when they were much, much younger, right? And there is no taking a break there, man. It is 24/7. Mm-hmm. That if I had 24 hours, like for me, the last thing I want to do is continue to talk to other people.
Well, that's
like,
the thing.
I want to do it exactly by myself and sit in silence.
So that's what I'm thinking. I think when you arrive, I'm thinking about having like, hey, we could do a yoga sesh when you arrive if you want to do like that. You bring a book and you can find a little cozy nook somewhere in the cabin in front of the fire. You can, you know, read your book. You can do whatever. You can put your earbuds in. This is like your solo downtime. I'm thinking I want to get a chef because I don't want anybody to have to clean a pot or pan. Mm-hmm. I don't want anybody to have to cook any food. So we would have snacks readily available, plenty of charcuterie boards. We'd have somebody do lunch, dinner, and then breakfast the next morning. And then that night, after we've been there and decompressed, we could pop open the bottles of wine or whatever your beverage of choice, or maybe a mocktail if that's your thing.
That night, girl, I'm opening it as soon as I arrive.
Yeah. Okay. And if that's what you want to do, like, that's the thing. Like, there's no judging. It's literally like whatever you need to decompress and to reset yourself so you can be the best mom possible. That's what I want this to be about.
Hey, Jasmine, good morning. You're part of the Bert Show. Hi, you got some suggestions?
Well, we're already doing it this weekend. We're going to a cabin. We leave tomorrow, and we're coming back Sunday. We're going up to Blue Ridge. It's going to be 30 of us women.
Wow. Whoa.
And we're doing like a wig exchange. We got a bunch of liquor, alcohol. We got a hot tub. We're doing an 80s party. We do a onesies party. So, yeah, just no husbands, no kids, just us 30 women.
Now, good there are 30 you. People. Does that mean friends, invited friends? Will there be women there that you are meeting for the very first time?
Right.
Oh, there are.
Everybody's going. Some people are going to be new. Some people are friends. Some people, like, we don't know each. Some people we don't even know. But all the 30 women.
I think the key to these weekends, because that sounds amazing.
Does it?
It does, but you have to be on the same page.
Yeah.
So, like, if I'm thinking I'm going, like, I want to go, I want to open the wine, read my book, then maybe traveling masseuse.
Yes.
So I'll pay for a massage that evening, then hang out with friends that evening. The next morning, I'm down for yoga, then we can wrap it up. So if I'm expecting, like, a chill weekend and I go and it's, like, themed parties, no. But if I know we're going out of town for a party weekend, then I'm down. I just need to prepare myself.
This might be a personality type, but just knowing that I'm going for 24 hours to a place where there are going to be some people there that I don't know makes me not want to do it.
That would
I would do with friends, but if there are going to be people there I don't know that I'm going to have to, like, put a face on for, that 24 hours away from the kids is just...
But that's the thing. You're not having to put on a face. Like, that's what I want. Like, I think you can do this, and that's how desperate moms are for a break, that we're willing to hang out with strangers just to get away from our families. No, but I'm saying, like, there should be no face you have to put on. Like, literally, I want this to be so low-key. I don't want anybody to have to dress up. I want to be cozy. I want to wear sweats. I don't want to have to worry about doing my hair. I don't want to have to worry about doing makeup. Like, I want to be as sloth-like as possible, and let my brain just take the biggest giant dump ever and then have some fun with some, like, new friends, old friends, and cocktails.
Oh yeah, new people in that kind of environment is the best, because that's what I think made my Ireland trip so special, was
right?
Going to a completely different place with a bunch of randos where we don't have any history, to where when you want to let your hair down, you can just do that and start fresh. It's like a summer camp experience as an adult, just making friends when you had no prior history.
People got ideas. Right. Tammy, good morning. You're on the Burt Show.
Good morning. Okay. So first of all, I don't want any strangers here. Now, me and my friend, if there are six of us, we just need at least 12 bottles of wine, and that's it.
Two bottles of wine per person. Got it.
That sounds like more like my kind of party.
You mentioned it was only 24 hours, right?
That's the thing. Like, it's not too long. I don't feel like it's too short. Like, 24 hours away from your kid will feel like an eternity.
I should call it the Michael Jordan party. I know how you feel about them kids.
Yeah, F them kids. And there's minimal guilt there. You're literally just driving like an hour and a half or whatever to get this location. You're having that 24 hours to yourself, and then you're going back to your life.
Hey, I love it.
Angela, good morning. You're on the Burt Show. Hi.
Silence by bubbles. I need champagne. Okay. I need quiet. Then I need somebody massaging my deep tissue back to make it feel like they're touching my front.
Okay.
That's deep.
Okay. I don't know how we follow up that.
There you go.
You got some ideas.
I do have some ideas. So again, I want to test this out with my group of mom friends, and then maybe brainstorm this into something later in the year with some Burt Show listeners.
The Burt Show.
All right, Mo, so you put one of your dudes on the spot, did you?
I did, and I think I might have been wrong for it, but what's a comedy show if you can't make fun of your friends?
This was in front of a whole bunch of different people?
Yes.
Oh, boy.
So I had an idea, and it I think it went well. I don't think he's mad at me, but so one of my best friends DJs my comedy shows, and for me, it always feels like since he's going to be on stage and since I spend the most of my time with him anyway, I might as well make him a part of the show. So I'm curious, one, as to if y'all feel like this could have went bad. And two, what story would you have chose? Because so I wasn't sure if I wanted to speak to the dating situation he's currently in right now. Because one, I didn't know if she was going to be there or not. But it's such good content that I was like, I really kind of want to do this. And he was on the fence about it. He was like, maybe we should, maybe we shouldn't. He wasn't sure. He left it up to me. So then what I decided to do, since I like to challenge myself at my shows, is give the audience an opportunity to decide what they want to hear.
They're always going
to
choose T, man.
Right. But I kind of teased it to where all three of them were T, but you could only get one. So you get one here. The other two would be on my podcast. And once they kind of got the idea of what the stories were, they wanted to change it, but I wasn't allowing anyone to change it. So the way I presented it was, I brought my dude back out, which he tried to hide in the back. I wouldn't let that happen. I brought them out and I said, listen, in traveling with my guy, there are three experiences that I've had that I would share either one with you. But I want y'all to tell me which experience you want to hear about.
All right, break it down and we're going to vote here too.
So I said, he's currently in a dating situation with a woman who's in the audience. It's very awkward. There's a conversation that the two of them have not had, and I am willing to mediate that conversation right now in front of y'all.
And she is there.
I didn't know. Okay. That was the other thing about it. At this time that I'm presenting this, I don't know if she's there yet or not, okay. Right? So there was that. The other one was when we went to, on all of our trips that and our traveling, all the things that we have done, there's one incident where he ended up on a table and he fully, 1,000% believed that Michael Jackson was there. That's how out of his mind okay. he was at this party. The third option was the option when he had to go to the hospital because of the person who spit in his mouth.
Oh.
And that's all I gave. That's it.
I'd go with one.
One. One
yeah,
for sure.
One, yeah.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
I was prepared to tell one. Nobody went with one.
What?
Not one person in there went with one.
And that's why they don't have a radio show.
Everybody went with three.
The spit in the mouth story?
That was the one.
That's too easy.
That's what I said. That's the one they wanted to hear, which made me think, I think people thought it was a lot more salacious than it actually is. Because after when I told it, I'm like, honestly, that's the least intriguing of the three stories by far. But that's the story they went with, which that story is we were in Colombia at this time and we were sitting at a table. And this guy
is that how they greet each other in Colombia? Just right in their mouth?
No.
That's their national anthem. Because if so, ain't going.
No, not well, some places you go, that's how they greet you. But not where we were. No, it was just it was another guy, random guy. He came to the table. He didn't look the cleanest. What he was wearing, the way he presented himself. And he came over to try to ask us a question. And in the middle of the question, I mean, you could see it.
Oh, no.
The arc and everything.
It had that arc. And it just was flying. And it was it was just this big, just glob of saliva. And it landed directly on his. And I just remember it landing. And he said, he did like this. And that was the story. But now everybody was mad because they had to get the other two on my podcast. And those two are way better. Way better stories.
So tell people where they can find the two stories they didn't hear at your show on your podcast.
It's called In the Moment, spelled M-O-E-M-E-N-T. And you can get it wherever you get your podcast.
It's a Bert Show.
Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute it's carbs are bad. And then the next it's, no, actually carbs are fine. But only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice. And honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now.
Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you.
They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Bert to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Bert. forhers.com/Bert. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
The Bert Show.
Maybe I'm overthinking this, but I'm wondering if this would be a dating red flag for you guys or even a totally and complete game changer. So I was just reading a couple of days ago that Bill Gates has got a new book out. We all know who Bill Gates is.
He's a billionaire. There's no red flags for billionaires.
Well, there might be. There might be. All right, so Bill Gates, as you know, he divorced Melinda.
Correct.
Melinda Gates a few years ago, right? He is now seeing somebody very, very seriously. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Melinda has moved on. She's having the time of her life. But Bill said in an interview this week, divorce from, what's her name? Melinda?
Yep.
Was the biggest regret that I have in my life. Biggest mistake he's made. When asked if divorce was the only failure in his life, He said, certainly at the top of the list, there are others, but none that matter. The divorce thing was miserable for me and Melinda for at least 2 years. Now, like I said, Bill has moved on and he's dating somebody. Mm-hmm. If you read this and the guy that you're dating seriously says the biggest regret of his life was his divorce, you bailing on it or am I overthinking this?
Is this because of feelings and emotion and love? Or is this because she ended up with $29 billion in the divorce settlement?
I'm assuming it's more emotional than that.
Okay.
Because $29 billion to Bill Gates, you can make that up in a week and a half.
Yeah, if it's emotional, I'm out. But if it's like you regret how you handled it, even if you didn't try harder in your marriage, I'm still okay with that. But if there's emotion there and you regret divorcing that woman, then I'm out.
He said, divorcing her was the mistake I most regret.
Oh, yeah. I'm running for the hills. Now, I'm not quite at the age where the guys I'm dating are divorcees. So if a guy came to me and said, yeah, my biggest regret was dumping my ex-girlfriend or her dumping me, I'd be like,
yeah.
Right. My biggest regret is going to be staying in this relationship a second longer.
Okay, so maybe I'm not overthinking this.
I would need some clarification because if you are saying you just regret the fact that you got married and you failed, and it was a failure of a marriage,
right,
and you know your family didn't work out, that's one thing. I understand that. But if you are saying this in terms of you wish it didn't happen,
yep,
in which I would not be here,
yep.
Yeah, I got some questions.
Because she's always going to feel like she's in second.
Absolutely.
I changed my answer.
Okay.
If it's any random dude on the street, then yes, I'm running. If it's Bill Gates, I'm staying, I'm marrying him, I'm doing whatever I need to fulfill the prenup requirements, and then I'm divorcing him.
Yeah, he's gone through that. I think he's going to have, there's going to be more paperwork in this divorce.
You don't leave when it's a billionaire, you just get in your feelings and stay.
Right. Yeah. All right, Messy Mikey, why is it so important for you to make a good impression on a waiter or a waitress?
Well, you want them to like you, but here's the deal, is right across from my apartment, there's this bar, it's called Cypress.
This is the new place in Midtown.
New place. Fancy, fancy town.
And Cypress Pine and Plate is a fantastic joint.
It's a hell of a restaurant, and I'm spending about three to four meals there a week now.
Okay.
This weekend, I went there three times, twice in one day.
And this is not what you're used to, like out there outside the perimeter, the Applebee's and the Chili's and stuff
no,
like that.
It's
this
not.
Is legit.
But this is actually, this is affordable, and it is good stuff. I go in there every time, no matter what restaurant I go to. You could ask me any restaurant, any fast food. I could tell you exactly what I get right off the bat. I go in there. I get a buffalo chicken sandwich, no mayo, no blue cheese, and a Miller Lite.
That's your go-to.
It's a
dry.
That's
a dry.
It's covered in hot sauce.
All right.
So my sister's been going there for years, and she cannot get these people to remember who she is. She knows every one of their names at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to be a regular. It's all I want. I just want to walk in and they know what I want. I've been able to accomplish this at one place, and that's right across the street here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a beautiful thing to walk in. They see your face, yeah. Miller Lite, bam. It's awesome.
Do you ask the wait staff questions about themselves ever?
I interact with them in a way that I see appropriate. You try to jump through hoops to make their job easier. Turns out I was making it harder. I was wrapping the receipt in the credit cards. So they didn't like that. But I'm still, I need tips on how to make them like me.
Your tip is okay. Tip. You need to tip more. Right, if you tip more, they'll know you.
What's a different tip?
Oh, not one. Tip more?
Yeah.
Like
a different tip.
Okay. I got in real good with a staff at Subway once. Like I would go, my order was a tuna fish sandwich. So I would walk in every Friday and they'd be like, it's Tuna Girl. They didn't know my name, but they knew who I was.
I love that.
That is the nickname you do not want to have.
You're right. It's not. And I stopped going to that Subway.
Oh, we're still calling you Tuna Girl. Tuna Girl.
Don't do it. Don't do it. You don't want that.
Sweet onion sauce.
You don't want that.
But you got to be jovial, but not so jovial you're annoying, right? They're busy. They're at work. So you learn their name. And after you learn their name for a couple weeks, you walk in and you're like, hey, Constance, great to see you. And then you do the like, there are like four things you need to know. You need to ask about their fam, like gently, or their pets like that. And you get to know them. And then you'll be like, hey, Constance, how's your dog? And then Constance will start remembering you because you're remembering her.
That's really good.
This is about time and money also, man. Yeah. If you go to like one of those carnivals, right? You're playing one of the carnival games, the balloon with the dart, right?
Yeah.
And you play it one time and you lose. They're not going to know who you are. You take off, right?
Okay.
But if you come back and you play 15 times, they're going to know what your name is at some point.
Gotcha. How do you guys ask for someone's name? I was making.
Hey, what's your name?
What's your name?
I feel like it's weird. Like, why is that any of your business? You're Maybe I'm overthinking it.
Hey, so. I just moved in across the street. I love this place. The food is so good. I'm here like 4 times a week. I'm Mikey. What's your name?
Yeah.
Okay. Uh-huh. I'm Mikey, and I get a buffalo chicken sandwich and a burger.
No.
It's a joke.
You're being selfish. It's not about them getting your food. It's about you creating a connection.
All right, I'm going to go over there and connect.
All right, Abby, we got a couple of minutes here. You're going to like this a couples type deal, a dating thing alone?
Well, the goal is for it to be a couples type deal at some point. Right now, it's a singles type deal. So there's this girl who was on The Bachelor a year or two ago who does all of like these singles events around Atlanta. And I've been to one, so I thought I would finally dip my toe into one of the more intimate events. The first one I went to was like a Halloween party, and the ratio was just like not there. So I decided I'll go if there's another party where the ratios are guaranteed to be even. So she's having a little get-together at Painted Park in Inman Park, mm-hmm. where there's 150 ladies and 150 dudes, and you go there, and you mingle, and you hopefully find the love of your life.
Is it like first come, first serve, or did you get on the list so you're guaranteed in?
So here's my problem is you had to buy a ticket in advance. And so me, being very type A, got on right at 5 p.m. when they dropped, got my ticket, texted my friends who said they were going. I said, hey, did y'all get your tickets? And they're like, oh no, they sold out. I can't go. So I was going under the pretense that like there would be other people I knew going, and now I'm going to be showing up truly single to the singles event, and it makes me not want to go anymore.
I don't blame you, because it's nice to have backup at an event like that. So
I know.
You're not just standing there by yourself.
What is this event? What exactly are they doing?
It's a singles event. Like, it's a mix and mingle.
But what were they doing there?
Talking to men?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you said it was some kind of painted something.
Painted Park is the name of the bar.
Oh, okay.
You know, like Painted Pen. Paint?
I thought they were going to be painting pottery, and I'm like, they're not going to be 150 guys to show up to that.
No. It's just like a mix and mingle event where you're supposed to go and like interact and hopefully find a boyfriend or a girlfriend. And I just, I am so truly unmotivated to go. Because I am anxious.
Go. This is the universe testing you. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we have to rise above in order to find our true love. I think you should go. You got this.
Absolutely.
And as awkward and as uncomfortable as it's going to be, I feel like it's kind of forces you to really be there and in the moment and interact. And like, that's the whole reason you're going anyway. So you should go.
It's going to force me to drink a lot of Sauvignon Blanc. That's so if you're going tonight, you're going to see me in a dire state.
Well, maybe somebody will know you from the show and they'll, like, you know, pretend to be your friend.
Hey, you look pitiful. You want to be my friend?
At least you have somebody next to you.
Hey, listener, will you pretend to be my friend tonight?
The Burt Show.
I'm about to be a real buzzkill for Gen Z. If you were born between the ages of 1997 and 2012, which I believe Abby,
mm-hmm.
correct? Jackson?
Correct.
Rebecca?
No.
Okay.
I'm a 94 baby.
Are you close?
I thought that I was the oldest, like, cutoff for Gen Z, like, between Gen Z and millennial.
Okay.
I always call myself a zillennial.
Yeah, you're like a millennial sun, Gen Z rising.
I'm really hip.
So many houses, so many rising. All right, so if you think it is tough right now for Gen Zers as far as getting jobs and the economy, it very well could get worse for you guys here over the next couple of years, and I'm not exactly sure who's to blame, so let's chew on this. A new survey came out, and a significant portion of employers now say that they'd rather hire AI than a Gen Z graduate into their company.
That's crazy.
37% of employees say they'd rather hire AI than a recent graduate. Jackson, I saw you just kind of like look like, yeah, it makes sense.
I think that's totally valid.
Why?
I mean, when you think about the costs that go into training employees, getting them, hiring competent employees, making sure that nobody's lying on resumes, going through that entire process takes a ton of time, a ton of resources, a ton of money. And so for you to just get rid of that entire process and have something that's basically just guaranteed to do the menial work that you think that you need to do, then it kind of makes sense.
That point will come up later because people are sort of complaining, like, who's really to blame here? Is it budget cuts or is it Gen Z and their personalities? Okay. Because it says 68% of small business owners say Gen Zers were the least reliable of their employees. 71% said these younger workers were the most likely to have a workplace mental health issue, so they wouldn't hire them.
I feel like they said that about millennials when millennials were our age, too. So I feel like it's less of a generation-specific thing and more of a bias from boomers against the youngins who are just trying to figure it out.
I think that the one thing that is generationally specific, though, is that Gen Zs do a lot more job hopping than anyone else. That's like a very common thing that people do is you join one company, you stay there for a year or two just to get it on your resume, and then you use that leverage for salary and what you did and your experience there to move on to another place, and you just keep jumping from place to place, getting paid more and more and more, and it's becoming less and less worth it for companies to invest in their employees when they know that they're just going to jump ship in a couple years.
That used to look poorly on you on a resume if you were jumping around that much. An employer would go, they're only going to be here 6 months, but I guess it doesn't have as much weight anymore.
Yeah, because it used to be being a lifer was like a very common thing for people from like my parents' generation, where you started at a company once you graduated college and you stayed there for your entire life, 40, 50 years at the same company. And that just does not happen anymore.
Well, it's because those companies stopped paying lifers. So that was the perk with being a lifer, is you got raises and promotions, and that stopped happening. So the new strategy is, if you're not going to pay me what I'm worth, I'm going to go to the next company that will.
I think, honestly, Gen Z already uses AI so much in school, in college, that it's like, why not just cut out the middleman? Go straight to AI.
Here's the problem, too, and I think I told you guys this. A couple of times now, me and my 17-year-old son have sat down, and we're taking a look at his future, and he's trying to choose a major and a career. And I said to him, because he rattled off like four or five different careers. And I'm like, son, I got to be honest with you. If we look 10 years into the future, 5 years into the future, those jobs like marketing, for instance, why would you have somebody in there running analysis for you when AI is doing everything? So I told him, do two things. Study AI and study business.
If you think ChatGPT can write a tweet better than me, you're absolutely right.
Facts. AI is not funnier than Rebecca.
Study interviewed 1,600 employers and full-time employers, and 96% of employers said most college educations aren't preparing people for their jobs. Altogether, 89% said they avoid hiring recent grads.
I totally get that. I mean, it's one of those things where your experience, they only want people who have experience in the field, but how are people in college going to get the experience in the first place?
Right.
And so it's kind of a double-edged sword. And it's really interesting to see that now, instead of college educations being sort of the most important thing that job employers are looking for, things like going to a trade school, people like electricians, plumbers, HVAC, that's going to be way more of important of a hard skill, because that's one thing that actually can't be replaced by AI.
Yeah, I've been watching Landman lately, and I'm like, none of those guys right there are going to be replaced by AI. You need real hands on it. Now, in a separate survey that came out this morning, which is really interesting also, this one came out from Gallup, and it said the youngest generation of adult workers, Gen Z, already feel burned out. Only 31% say they felt engaged at work last year. So it goes both ways.
I wonder if it's just the hustle culture that we were raised with, because I know specifically my parents were really tough on me. And I look back at the superhuman that I was from 14 to 18, and I don't understand how I did. Like, I was working 18 hours, like from sunrise to sunset. I was doing something that I think you get to a point where you do that and you realize, oh, I did all that for just for this? That's all that there is for life. And you just start to question, like, wow, my parents really put priorities in the wrong.
Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute it's carbs are bad, and then the next it's, no, actually carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now.
Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you.
They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Bert to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Bert. forhers.com/Bert. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
That wasn't a dig at my job. I love being employed. Please don't replace me with AI. All right, Chad Johnson, a.k.a. Ocho Cinco, says that he is getting married next month. He just doesn't know to who.
Next month?
He says in February.
In February, yep.
He is getting married. Now, this is very interesting to people who've been following Chad Johnson because he was very recently engaged to a woman named Sherelle Rosado. They ended their engagement in October of 2024. His ex-fiance said that the breakup was started by her discovering some text messages between him and another lady on his phone. So they decided to break up, but still co-parent their two-year-old daughter, Serenity, together. But the Shade Room recently shared this clip of Chad Johnson saying, you know what? I'm getting old. It's time for me to get married. I don't know who it's going to be, but it's happening in February.
Am I still getting married in February? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely getting married. Boy, you hear me? Now, I don't know who I'm going to get married to, but I'm getting married in February. Did I tell you that? I ain't wasting no more time. Boy, I'm 57, boy. You hear me? Boy, 67% of my life, I done already lived it. I ain't got time to be playing out here in these streets. Absolutely not. I promise you, I don't care who you are. I don't even care how you look. I don't care. You can be ugly. I don't care. I am. I tell you one thing. Come February, walking down the aisle. We're gonna be at somebody's courthouse. Promise you.
There are a few things to chew on here.
He was also chewing on something.
Jinx. Chad Ochocinco loves to have drama around his life. Loves it. Lives off of it. So to have a child named Serenity seems a little odd to me. And the second thing is he's saying it's just like, it doesn't matter from this point until the end of February, right? Or mm-hmm. is it the beginning of February? He's going to date so many women that he's marrying to somebody.
Yeah, well, I think Chad is being Chad. Yeah. I can't tell when he's serious or not, yeah. But I really do think this is a way for him to try to get his girl back. I think that's what this is because he was originally supposed to marry her and then he got caught doing things he wasn't supposed to be doing.
Who, Chad?
Yeah, right. Mm. Believe it or not. And so he claims that he already hired singers. He already has like everything in place, paid for it all. So I think this is his way of trying to put pressure on her to marry him still, even though he messed up.
So he said, I don't care what you look like. I don't care whatever. I just want to get married by the end of February. So I was like, oh, shoot. Like, let me slide into the DMs. Like, I'm trying to get married. He's trying to get married. But then I was like, what's his net worth? Because if I'm getting cheated on, I want to make sure the money's worth it. So I just Googled Chad Johnson net worth. And I got to be honest, I don't know if it's just the way I view money now in terms of like the economy, but he's only worth $15 million.
Is that it?
Only $15 million.
He can't afford you, girl.
I was like, wait a second. Is getting cheated on for the rest of my life worth $15 million? Well, probably.
Well, no, because in his case, he's infamously cheap. Like, everybody knows that about him. That man will not spend a dollar. And he tells you that. He wears that proudly. So that $15 million, you're not even going to see much of that, Abby.
All right. Well, somebody who doesn't want to get married is former Bachelor Matt James. His ex is telling the world how he dumped her while they were in Japan. And I'm going to tell you why they split on your next E-Buzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
A breakthrough that actually changed your life?
Yes, right? Surprising. Therapy actually works.
It does. That?
Who would have thought?
If you can get all that ugly stuff out, then it works. But if you're hiding it from your therapist, why are you even spending your money?
Well, and it's not just that, but I also want to share, I think there are people out there who think therapy doesn't work because they're emotionally intelligent and you know the answers. So you're like, why would I go to a therapist and talk to someone when I know the action plan? I just can't make myself do it. It's a waste of money. But sometimes talking through stuff out loud helps you come to conclusions, even if it's you, the therapist. Think of them like your captain, right? So I think a lot of people go to therapists to be taught, like, I have this problem. And the therapist is like, here's a way that you could fix it. And that is very helpful. But then there are those who, and I'm guilty, I'm one of them. I'm like, no, I understand what the problem is. I know how to fix it. Why would I talk to a therapist?
I've always questioned the theory of self-awareness anyway, because you're looking at yourself through your own lens. Mm. So if your solo lens is off, then you're not self-aware. But I know a lot of people that have claimed to be self-aware that had no idea who they were. Zero.
And that's a very good point. And with my mom's diagnosis and everything going on in my life, if you don't know, we're still out of our house. It's been like 9 months at this point that we've been out of our house due to storm damage. And my mom has terminal cancer. And so I was like, let me book an appointment with a therapist preemptively. Like, I know I'm going to have some struggles. I'm going to have to explain death to my young children. Let me get ahead of this and start talking to someone now so that I can be prepared.
Good on you, man.
Thanks. And I did the first session, and the therapist is great, but I'm like, why am I doing this? Like, this is, as I'm talking it out, I'm like, I know exactly where this is going, what the answer is. And in the second session and talking, I said something aloud, and it was a light bulb moment for me. And she goes, say that again. And that would not have happened had I not been talking to a therapist. I would not have sat down and thought for an hour about my thoughts and feelings and really dissected it. So even if you think that you don't need a therapist, there's a big benefit there. And I realized in that session, I had been allowing so much stuff from my past to hold me back. Expectations on who I should be, how I should act, the things that people did to me in the past, which a few of those slights I had brought up to the person, like when I went home for a trip, I talked to someone and I was like, you know what? You did these things to me in my past and they really messed me up and I've been carrying them for life. And you know what that person said? I don't even remember that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, how do you not remember mm-hmm. these defining moments in my life that I keep thinking about and that have defined my life moving forward and you don't even remember doing them? And so in talking to the therapist, I came to this realization and I wrote it down in my notes so that I could properly express it because I said it again and it was so liberating for me. And it was that I have the power to let stuff from my past go and I can control how it affects me moving forward. So if there is something from your past, a grudge, a slight that has affected how you act, it's your choice to let it go. And I know that sounds weird. I really do. But I think sometimes, especially if our family does something when we're growing up and it really sticks with us, you sort of let that define your relationships with your family and who you are moving forward. And I was like, I don't have to be that person. I don't have to hold on to that. I don't have to pay attention to that. It's okay for me to be who I am. And I realized throughout my life, my interactions with people, every time someone said something to me like, oh, that's interesting, or that's a unique take, or that's kind of awkward, I let it affect me and I would shrink myself even more. And I'd be like, okay, well, I can't do that because that means I'm awkward and weird. And I can't do that because that means they won't like me. And I've become a shell of myself. And I have also adopted this trait where I mirror people's personalities back at them. So nobody really knows who I am because I'm like, all right, here's this person. This is how they like to hang out. So I'm just going to hang out like this. And I'm not going to bring up any of the subjects I like because in the past I've been told, well, that's neat. That's too introspective. That's too deep. I don't like it. And so I've shut myself down over and over and over again. And this is not on those people at all. This is on me, right? This is my burden to carry because you can control how you react to people, not what they do. But because of things stemming from my childhood, I've slowly molded myself into trying to be the most likable person, which is why I think sometimes on air I get super ragey or super angry at segments because all of a sudden the dam overflows and I can't hold it back anymore and I just let it out. And so in realizing this, I'm like, it's okay for me to be who I am. And if those people don't like it, well, then they can go find someone else. I'm not going to be everyone's cup of tea. And it sounds so obvious when you say it, right? Like, duh, be yourself. But actually doing that, because approval is so important, whether it's from your parents, your friends, your boss, whatever, it's very hard to just be yourself. I mean, if you're a piece of crap, maybe don't be yourself. But I have let go of those things. And that's part of the reason now why I want to get a tattoo. Because my whole life I've been like, I can't get a tattoo. My parents wouldn't approve, which is ridiculous because I'm almost 40. But I love them. And that's how I was raised. And I want to make them proud still. That never goes away. And every move I have made is always for somebody else. It's for myself, but it's because somebody else wanted it, or I knew they would approve, or society would be like, thumbs up, you're doing a good job. This is what you're supposed to do. And I have finally stopped living that way. And I'm going through a little bit of a burnout phase. It's been a transition, but it is so liberating to decide, I don't care what anyone else thinks. I am going to be myself. I'm going to share weird random facts on the internet because I love them and I think they're so cool. And if you don't like them, you can skip my story. Like, I'm going to get a tattoo because I want to. I mean, I feel like this is revelation I should have had at a quarter life crisis at age 25. But I'm a little stunted in that area. And I just want to encourage anyone out there who's been, who feels like a misfit, like they never quite fit in, or that you mask and you put on a face so that you can fit in, but you never feel like your connections are authentic because you're kind of playing a role. Drop the mask. You're not going to find your people until you drop the mask. And I think you'll find that people will accept you for who you are. And if they don't, why do you want to pretend to be that person's friend anyway? Why do you want to play into that role and make someone else's life happy, but be unhappy in your own? Because nobody knows you. So you have the power to let go of the past. You can control how you move forward in the future.
And you got that out of one session with a therapist?
I did. She's a great therapist. Yeah.
People are going to be hitting you up today and go, like, what's the name of that therapist?
I'll happily share, but good luck out there and stop pretending to be someone you're not to get approval.
The Burt Show.